Today's daf is daf Chof, and we were in the middle of discussing the case of the machat that had been found inside of Basar Kodesh. We said that there's no problem of the sakin itself being tamei, and the only issue was the basar. There was no problem of the kohen being tamei. It turned out we had a little bit of a problem because we were talking about. Turned out the only machat we could be talking about was either a machat that was known and that it is recognized as a tamei mate, or we were talking about a machat that had come from outside of Yerushalayim, but otherwise it indeed would have been a problem. If it was a machat that had come from, that was known to have been in touched by a tamei mate, then it should have been metame because of halal harayu kikari, should have been metame even sakin v'adam, because it would have been an avatuma. Therefore, it turned out that the main chidush was that it's not metame because a safek maga and the azara would be safek tumah brishut harabim, to which the Gemara yesterday responded, what about the fact that in order to be learned out from sota, it has to be able to be asked whether it's tame. Sakin can't be asked whether it's tame, and we said that as long as there's a brain attached to that sakin somewhere, then it can be asked. So here it was being used by a human, and therefore it's considered to be a valid subject to membership of the rabbi. Today the Gemara wants to discover the other variables. We didn't discuss exactly the basar. Well, the basar obviously would only be tame if it was mukshar kabel tuma, but that's something of a trick in the azara, because we, as we already saw, where you're going to get mashkin that are going to be makshirin in the azara if we have the testimony of Yosef ben Yoezer that mashkin and the azara are not makshirin. So this, again, it turns out that in odd ways, this case ends up testing our previous assumptions. So we're on the second line now of Daf Chav, and we're saying essentially Omar Mar, it's missing, but that's the idea. You said, quote, V'habasar tamei, unquote. So now, hai basar ditkasher b'mai. What exactly was makshir this basar to be makabel to? I neima ditkasher b'dam. Is it the blood of the shechita that would have been makshir it? V'ha'omar rabbi chiyah barabah on rabbi yofan amidayin adam kadashim she'eino makshir she'namalotoch lena al aretz tishpachana kamayim dam she'nishpach kamayim makshir she'nishpach kamayim eino makshir. So even without the issue of the mashke beit mitbachaya, where are you going to get blood in the beit hamikdash that can be makshir? And dam tam tzitis b'chlau not makshir. So what is it referring to? Is it the, I mean, I'll just review this, because the only way that we know that dam is mashir is because it's compared to water, but blood of kutchin isn't compared to water, because you can't spill it out. So therefore, that can't be the solution. Ella, perhaps you'll say, ditkashir b'mashke bit mit b'chaya, with the water that's there in the bit of mit b'chaya, that we're washing off the meat with, and so on. But om rabbi yisrael b'chanina, mashke bit mit b'chaya lo dayin shen t'chen, elo shen makshirin. I thought we said before that included in the idea of the tzahira of mashke bit mit b'chaya is that they are not even makshir other things to be makabel tuma. The third possibility is that just as we saw before that chibat hakodesh could take even gechalim and turn them into food, make them roy lekabel tuma, because of the higher order usage that they're being put to, it's the equivalent of a conscious instrument, and remember tuma is a function on some level of consciousness, either the being that's tamei has to be conscious, that's why an animal can never become tamei, unless it's dead of course, but then it's not an animal, but it has to be meat, or it has to be suitable for an adam's consumption, it would be food, or a potable liquid, which would be the makabli tuma, or it's an instrument of an adam, in that it's a kli, which would include his clothing. But normally something that doesn't have one of those purposes can't possibly be tummy. Unless, of course, it's the source of tuma, that it's dead or whatever. But it can't be makabli tuma. But since kodesh is such an advanced usage, and the whole point of kodesh is the level of awareness that's associated with it, and by definition, chaviv to become tummy. In which case, this too would be makabli tuma, perhaps, without even coming into contact with liquid. That would be your suggestion. However, I have an objection, because the only time that we have absolutely seen that chibat hakodesh serves as the equivalent of heksher, that is, defining something to be considered a foodstuff despite the fact that it isn't, is emor d'mahanyalei chibat hakodesh. Where have we seen that chibat hakodesh is effective? It's only if sule gufe. That's only to make it ro'ui the kabel tuma. But does it really turn it into a standard instrument of an adam, or food of an adam, so that it now takes part in the whole seder tumah that attenuates from one level to the next, and therefore we would be able to mimne beirishan v'sheni. Is it also considered to be tamei to give it a din that it could be metamei acherim? And it does say over here the basar is tamei, which are not that it's basar. Because the basar now can be metamei other basar, other mashke. So would we in fact say that chibat hakodesh helps for that? If you want to say that, then tifshot debay reish lakish. This brayta would then finally provide a solution to a long-standing issue that reish lakish whether it's sarid shel minachot, where you have a mincha that wasn't mixed very well, it's a dry part of the mincha, and it's makabel tuma, despite the fact that it isn't a mashke, it hasn't touched a mashke. He asked, in that case, the kabbalat tuma of the mincha would be because of chibat hakodesh. Monin bo rishon v'sheni, olo. Nobody ever had an answer to that. We know that it will be makabel tuma in terms of becoming pasul, but will it also pasul something else? If the only case that we can come up with that would explain how this basar is tuma is the fact that it's kodesh, therefore chibat hakodesh is makshato, so then how do you explain the fact that nobody answered this question? Here we've got a perfect source. Obviously, chibat hakodesh counts as real tuma, not only as psul, because otherwise what's the brayta referring to when it says that the meat that you had, the needle that you found in the meat, would be matami, the meat to be matami other things? If that meat only became tuma through chibat hakodesh, obviously chibat hakodesh is tuma, not psul. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, well, there is a way out which would make it not definitive for Reish Lakish, because the case might be kagon shahayata parash zifrei shelamim. The case may be simply, as was standard, that when you would bring a carbon to the Beit HaMikdash, it would first be passed through a pool of some kind. The reason that they would do that is because it would make it easier to strip this, to skin it afterwards. And so if the skin was still wet, then it would have mashkin that were not mashke beit matvachaya, and that could drip on the basar, which would be makshir basar. This is how Rashi learns. Tosfos has a problem with that, because the way we came out earlier, it would seem that we wouldn't be able to be makshir with mayim that was in kalim, because we needed two separate sukkah, we ended up not having that. That's Tosfos Hashitas. He says the fact that you have water on the ore is sufficient to be makshir basar, without dripping on the basar. The moment that it shechted, this is considered to be the covering of the basar. So having mayim on that is also mashia. But in any event, it's an interesting side point here, as you'd ask yourself. If chibat hakodesh always serves as hechsher, what the heck is the point of saying mashke beit mitbechayer, not mashia? Who cares? We don't need them to be mashia, because anything in there would anyway be b'chuvav. Why are they being kodesh? It doesn't need any hechsher. It's really weird. I mean, like, why are we even discussing it? Doesn't the very fact that we need the edut, that there's no hechsher for mashke beit mitbechayer, doesn't that itself point to a difference between something truly mukshar or something that was only mukshar because of chibat hakodesh? But that's what you would have to say, but we're not ready to say that. So Tosa says, look, maybe the point would be only for those things that aren't Kodesh. For instance, you had a bottle of Osem ketchup. Now, what would you doing with Osem ketchup? Because we learn out that you're supposed to eat the food in the Beit HaMikdash with your normal condiment. If you would normally eat ketchup, but you don't bring Kodesh ketchup, you bring regular Osem ketchup. So there's no chibat HaKodesh on Osem ketchup, according to some authorities. So that actually is. It's the mashke beit matukaya. Would it be mashir? Maybe bikurim, which you eat, it doesn't have any kedush on it, but nonetheless, you bring it in. They're chashir, but they're not Kodesh. Well, it's a very, very cute point. The next case, and again, it should say sort of Omar Mar. The next case you said was that if Nimtzeit b'tferesh hakol tahor, if the machat was found here in the stomach contents, then everything would be tahor, even the bus. Ask the Gemara, why is that true? Isn't the feresh itself considered to be a liquid, which would then be metame the busser for having been mekabel tuma from the sakit? Omer v'ad barava the feresh aveh. We're talking about now thick contents. Of course, they would wash it out, but thick contents of the stomach, which has evidence of a mashke, or of the intestines, has evidence of a mashke, and therefore it would not be mekabel.
How is it in there? Even though it doesn't seem to have gotten into the flesh, considered from what? The needle itself was on it.
Yeah.
That it caused the death.
Yeah. It was just in the intestines. So now whatever was in the intestines, assuming that that has a din of a mashka, would have been metame the rest of the animal. It's right now, it's not a live animal, it's a dead animal, and therefore the intestines are no different than anything else.
That means that we're only talking about seven types of mashka being mashka.
Yeah, but what we're talking about over here is water. Because you were mashka, you're always mashka before.
Okay.
So our assumption is, I mean, obviously our answer will be that it's only mashka. Our assumption is that having just had a drink, then any liquid should still be considered to be water. But of course, answers the Gemara. It has nothing to do with that. Once something is in the stomach, it's no longer considered to be a suitable water. It's mashkish soruach, as we said before, which is not able to carry tuma. Tani Tanaka made a Rav Sheshes. Sheretz, but here's an interesting brayta. This brayta sort of challenges some of our assumptions, and we're going to end up, of course, having to fix it a bit. Because Itana was saying in front of Rav Sheshes, look, you could have a sheret that would be matame mashkin. Okay, I mean, we know that. We had a kal v'chomer before. If a sheret could be matame a kli, which can in turn be matame mashka, then certainly the sheret can be matame the mashka. Okay, so for all intents and purposes, it's a given that sheret is matame mashka. Now, those mashkin can turn around to being matame a kli. Now, of course, this is only true, according to Reb Yehuda, before he changed his mind, in which he was learning, asher yishater, b'chol kli yitma, that the kli yitma. That was his drasha. Before, he was the only one that said that mashkin are even metamim kelim. Of course, it turned out that he had had charot, as we saw from the other case. Okay, but let's assume for a moment that this is what he would be saying. So now we would have the sheretz, which is an av, is metame the mashka to make it a rishon. The rishon is, the mashka is metame a kli, which would make the kli now the sheni. The kli now turns around as metame ochlin, because after all, it does say in the pasuk that any ochlin in the kli are makabel tumah. We'll ignore the fact that the case given in the pasuk was that the sheretz fell into a kli, not that mashka fell and touched the kli. But we'll worry about that later. But assuming that we have a case in the Torah in which kli is metame ochlin, so now the ochlin would become, in this case, a shlishi. But since we learn out from Yitma Yitame that Ochlin and Matame Mashkin, these Ochlin will turn around to be Matame Mashkin, which makes the Mashkin a Revi. Now we know that this isn't true, because, I mean, we never found such a case. But first of all, there is no case in the Torah that the Kli was Makabal Tumah from the, even if the old Mashkin are Matame Kalin, we certainly can't now turn around and reinsert the results of the equation back into the Pasuk, and now we can keep reiterating it, you know. Well, and now we have those Mashkin will be Matame Kalin, the Kalin will be Matame Ochlin, Ochlin Matame Mashkin, since Mashkin Matame Kalin, let's reinsert that back in, and now we'll have a Kli Shvi that's being Matame Shmini. I mean, that's ridiculous. The only case that was given was a case where the sheretz was matame the kli, and then the kli would be matame the mashkin, but it can't go back around again and be matame after the kabbalah stuma from the sheretz. So we know something is cuckoo over here, but I mean, we never had a case where we had a revi that would be coming from kelim. The only place we learned revi was from the kal v'chomer, from the chuzah kippurim. So there's something wrong, and the fact that the braita continues itself with the words v'lamadu shalosh tumot b'sheretz, which shows us that you can have a shlishi the tuma, three levels of tuma emanating from a sheret. What? On the arbain. Wait a second. You said four and then you said three. So in other words, the braita included in itself a self-corrective line. So now it's forcing us to contemplate, okay, what's wrong? Something's wrong. So his answer was, goes mashkin deresha. Cut out that first mashkin. Not that the sheretz touched mashkin and the mashkin touched kli, but rather the classical case in the pasuk, the sheretz touched kli, the kli touched mashkin. That would be the case, the kli touched ochlin. Says the Gemara, on the contrary, it makes more sense to cut out the last mashkin. Because after all, the last mashkin was your problem, because the last mashkin was the revi. So why aren't you ready to just snip off the last one and admit that we never had a marker for Revi, and so that this was sort of an addition. Maybe it was being thrown in terms of Kodesh or something, but that Meikar Halacha that the bright is coming to address, we added an extra mashkin that we shouldn't have. Is that more logical? Says the Gemara, no, it's not more logical. Because Lo Ashka Chantana, the Omer Mashkin Metamin Kli El Revi Yehuda, the only man the Omer that we ever found that could have supported that first mashkin, that the Sheretz was Metamin, the mashkin, and then the mashkin went ahead and was Metamin the Kli, was only Revi Yehuda. But Havarbe, remember we proved that Reb Yehuda had charata. We weren't sure if he had charata all the way and said mashkin isn't matame at all, or whether he only had charata from Kalim, whether Reb Yehuda ended up agreeing with Rabbi Meir, or whether he ended up agreeing only with Reb Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, perhaps, whatever the case is, but he certainly had charata from his assumption that mashkin would be matame Kalim. So if you're going to cut out one of the mashkins, it makes more sense to cut out that first mashkin. And then we've got a standard case of shalosh tumos, which indeed, according to Rabbi Akiva, is precisely what we would have expected, that the braita would have said facing that pasuk. Just to keep it. A sheretz can be matami mashkin, but then the mashkin can't turn around to be matami the kli. But Rabbi Yehuda had charata from that. No, he said that mashkin can't be matami the kli. Of course, sheretz can be matami mashkin. That's kal v'chomer from the case given about the kli. V'simanecha. Now, in order that you not forget the proper seder of where the tumah comes, we sent a special representative to Dublin. The reason that we sent this representative to Dublin is because there's a very important factory in Dublin, which he undoubtedly stopped in, Guinness? Which is Guinness. Yeah. And your simon, says the Gemara, to remember is it's always time for Guinness. And that's nezaita. So a nezaita is somebody who is making beer. Okay, so how do you make beer? You first take the sorry, grain, the barley and the hops, and you put it into the container, and then you go ahead and then you put it into the you put in the mashke. Right? So in other words, you have your kli that's being metame ochlin, that's being metame mashke, which then gives you your Guinness. So just remember the right order. Zanhat sheret shenimtza b'tanur. And here we get to the deeper, I mentioned to you that there was more information density in that pasuk that means the eye. We spoke about how interesting it is, the yitmos and the yitameis and the tabaloshan and the hints at the difference between its own type of thing or different type of thing. But there's another piece of information in this pasuk that serves us for fundamental rules of tumah that we use all over the Torah. And that comes from the following. Zanhat. Sheret shenimtza b'tanur. You find a dead sheret, inside of your oven. The oven in those days was, of course, a kliferes. So there's pot in the tanur that's not in contact with the sheretz. Any pot in the oven is considered to be a sheni betuma, because the oven is a rishon, because the sheretz is an av. All very reasonable, except for one question. Asks the Gemara, Malirivada bar Av l'Rava, how do we know that the mode of transmission of the tumah of the sheretz, which we know can be done through the airspace, how do we know that the meaning of tumah in an airspace isn't to simply view the airspace as being full of sheretz? Now, if the airspace is full of sheretz, if that's what the meaning of the inside of a kli sheretz, space of a kli sheretz, if that's what it means, then that would effectively turn the pot into direct contact with the sheretz, which would mean that the pot should be a rishon and not have to go through. It's a little strange to say, well, the airspace could be matam of the kli, and then the kli would be matam of the pot through its space. Why not just, you know, have them come together if you're filling up the area with tumah? So why not say that it's kamanda malya tumah dami? Why not say that the space inside of the kli cheres, of the tanur, is filled with tumat sheretz, and the pot, therefore, is coming into contact with that tumah, the tavi pot rishona? Omar lei lo salkadaito, you can't view it in that way, for a very simple reason. If you viewed it in that way, that would mean that a kli inside of a kli cheres, so you have a cup in a kli cheres, it should become a rishon because it came in contact with the sheret. And yet, the pasuk says that only ochlin umashkin are tame, right? Kobi kol ha'ochel asher yachel. It says, kol asher betocho yitma, meaning, mi kol ha'ochel. Why not? Why only ochel? Why not other kalim? After all, kalim are certainly mekabel tuma from a kli, from a sheret, right? A regular metal kli, mekabel tuma from a sheret. So if the Torah is saying the only thing that can be makabel tumah inside of the airspace of a kliferes is food and not a kli, it's telling me two very important things by omission. It's telling me that a kli obviously has higher standards to be makabel tumah than ochli. So it will not be makabel tumah from only a vlad hatumah. This is the only source we have for that idea. How do we know that kli is only makabel tumah from an av hatumah? From this. If a kli would be makabel tumah from the same thing that ochlin would be makabel tumah from, what's the excuse for saying only ochlin or mashkin in the kli cheres is makabel tumah? So it's a given that there are higher standards that need to be met in order to metamic kalim. But by the same token, we also understand that the way to view av kli cheres is that it's not mole tumah, because if it was mole tumah, it would be impossible to excuse not being metamic a kli matechet inside of an av kli cheres. So from that omission, we learn out fundamental dinim throughout tumah. Now that's an excellent example of information. Beautiful. The omission teaches you so much. Soon you're going to have to go beyond tea if you keep this up. Go ahead.
So the dead sheretz.
No, never mind.
Makes the tanur rishon.
Yeah.
Now the pot with the cholent inside. According to this shita, the cholent will be tamei and the pot not.
Correct.
Even though the food is in the pot.
Why not? What's so unusual about that? It's always like that. Food is makabel tumah from things that are kli isn't makabel tumah.
Food does not matame the pot.
How can food be matame a pot? Food can't be an avatumah. Pots can only be makabel tumah from an avatumah. Contemplate Reb Chanina Skan Hakonim. Draw him into your blood. So let's see that inside. As the Braita points out, you might think that a normal kli, a kli matechet, which doesn't require contact from its inside. Okay, so you'll say, maybe a kli cheres, I understand, its inside isn't it, maybe mole tumah. But put a knife inside the tanur. There's a sheretz in the tanur. So the knife is in contact with the sheretz, right? Wrong. Amud lomar, kol asher betocho yitma, which would have made you think, when you read those words, anything, including a kli. And then it goes on to say, now, of course, what I mean is mikol ha'ochel. Why say mikol ha'ochel? You always say everything. Because you want us to recognize that only ochel mit tameh me'avir kli cheres. Only ochel can be mekabel tumah from an avir kli cheres, but ein kol ha'kelim mitameh me'avir kli cheres, which ipso facto means that the avir kli cheres is not full of sheres. Because we know that kelim are mekabel tumah from a sheres. Therefore, there's the only way to understand the contradiction. Okay, now before we continue, let's just briefly review what we ended up saying about the Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen. Remember that we had, because we're going to go back now just to look at a little bit of the action and see how it interrelates with each other. We had two shittas. We had Rabbi Meir's shita and Rabbi Yossi as to whether it was proper to derive things from Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen was one approach, or whether it was proper to derive things from Rabbi Yeshua was the other approach. If we were arguing about Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen, then the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi was part of the classic machlokes about whether Mashkin and Mekabel Tumah, whether Mashkin and Matam and Acher, which led us into this whole complex analysis, which we finally finished at these two bets. And now, we need to go back and think about another thing, because we sort of left hanging a little bit of a problem. Assuming that we were learning, even whether we were learning directly from Rabbi Yeshua, whether we were learning from Chanina Sgan HaKohen, Rabbi Yossi was just bringing in Rabbi Yeshua as an example of how Rabbi Meir is going overboard, and even Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't have gone overboard. But there were basically three or four different cases that we threw into that pot in order to get them to work out. When we're trying to identify which Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Meir might have been referring to, assuming that he was talking about Rabbi Yoshua and not Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen. So we went through a number of different examples of cases where Rabbi Yoshua argued with Rabbi Eliezer about how to treat Tumah that's in trouble. So one of the cases was the application to the Mishnah itself. And the Mishnah, assuming Rabbi Meir is saying that, well, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yeshua, there would be no problem of burning Truma that's Tahar, but which is also to eat in the sixth hour with Truma that's Tameh, to which Rabbi Yossi was saying, well, what do you mean? Nobody would ever have said you can actually be Matame Truma Tahira. The most you could do would be to be Matame Teluya. That's what he's saying. Now, the problem is that we had a number of different cases of Rabbi Yeshua that indicate that that's not completely true. As a matter of fact, if you look at the cases of the Machlokes, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, you end up with what appears to be contradiction. Because in the classic, the opening case of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, where the question is, do you have to take care of Truma Tuliya or not? Or can you leave it in the open where it'd be Makabel Tuma? Over there, everybody agreed that you can't do anything to touch it by your own hand. Most you could do is be goring it. We're going to be Matur Groma, according to Rabbi Yeshua. That's the most he would be willing to say. Then in the other case where we had the barrel that broke open and the truma is about to leak down into the holding pit of the chulin tameim underneath, over there Rabbi Yoshua said, no, you can actually use your hand to be metame. On the surface, that's a contradiction. We already know the answer to that contradiction because we analyzed it in terms of the Rabbi Yossi's comment to Rabbi Meir. The difference was, of course, that over there you're going to suffer serious financial loss. But if we would just come as naive readers who didn't think that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi were discussing Rabbi Yeshua, we would be struck by the difference between the two cases. In one case, Rabbi Yeshua is saying you could be metame biyadai. In the other case, he's saying at the most you're allowed to sort of leave it open and maybe something will happen to it at the most, right? Then we have the other case about can you actually be metame truma, which is tohar, once you're burning it with truma tamea, which according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yeshua held, and yet Rabbi Yossi said, oh, no way, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer were both motive that you cannot burn a truma tamea with tohara. Most you could do is teluya with tamea, but you couldn't go beyond that. Well, if that's true, then that means that according to Rabbi Yeshua, there was no reason ever to burn truma tahara or to be matame truma tahara. So there's really three cases that contradict themselves in a way, and we never really put them all together. We were just talking about them as part of the discussion between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. But why don't we just think about what did Rabbi Yeshua say? Because now I'm really confused. I listen to Rabbi Meir, I get one impression of what Rabbi Yeshua said. I listen to Rabbi Yossi, I get another impression about what Rabbi Yeshua said. So we'd like to see what Rabbi Yeshua really meant to say. Rav Chisda started with the first obvious question about the shittas of Rabbi Yeshua. And he said, basically, we have two sugyas of Rabbi Yeshua. We have the sugya of Pesach, in other words, burning Truma Tameah with Tahorah at the time of Pesach, which is what our Mishnah was talking about. And then we have the other sugyas, which is just pure Truma, not associated, the barrel of wine that broke, and the Truma Tuliya that's outdoors, those cases. That we call Truma, these cases we call Pischa. So we're either going to ask Pischa against Pischa, or Pischa against Truma, or Truma against Truma. So this is a shorthand for the way that we ask the kashas. Rav Chisda starts with the first contradiction, which is Pischa against Pischa. And he asks like this. You said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yoshua would have said, Shtehem ke'achat. So that's what you said. You could burn the two of them together. Is that true? What does it say in the Mishnah? Take a look, please, back at your Mishnah, back at your Dalit. Just to remind yourself of the wonderful Mishnah of Chanina Sgan HaKohen. Right at the end of the Mishnah, Modim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Shesorfim, Zuli Atzma, Zuli Atzma, Alma Nechlaku ala Tluya ala Tmeya, we're over there, Rabbi Yoshua, Mishteim Kacha. So according to this, Rabbi Yoshua allows burning a Truma Tluya with Truma Tmeya, right? Even though the Tluya may be tar. That's what it says in the Mishnah. That's very strange. That is really very strange, because in the Braita, when Rabbi Yossi was fighting with Rabbi Meir, he said, what's the matter with you? How can you bring a raya to your case? Shouts Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir. What were Rabbi Chanina's Kanakonim and Rabbi Akiva talking about? They were talking about what? Basar that was nitma bevlada tuma, that can be burned with basar that was nitma with an ava tuma, and from there you're going to bring me a raya, it could be batamik truma tahira? That's outrageous. That case was zetame vezetame. You're talking a case of truma tahira. What are you talking about? Rabbi Akiva's case? Of what? Of shemen that was nifzel betfuyom that you're allowed to put into a lamp that was tamei mate? I mean, at least shemen that was nitma with a tfuyom is puzzled. So over there, zeh pasul v'zeh tameh. But over here, one is tahara, one is tameh. How can you expose something tahara tameh? Afanuma, then listen, I'm ready to agree with you. If you've got truma that's already tameh, and it was nitmeh v'lada tumah, I would agree that you can burn it with truma shenitmeh v'ava tumah, but you're claiming that you can even take truma tahara. Heich nisrof hafilu tuluyah matmeah. Shema yavoy leyov yitaharein. It is possible that they are in fact tahar. Now, according to this, you said, Heich nisrof afilu tuluya in tmeya. What do you mean afilu tuluya in tmeya? Rabbi Yoshua agreed to tuluya in tmeya, it said in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yoshi was saying nobody ever would have said, what do you mean nobody? That's exactly what Rabbi Yoshua says. It says beferish in our Mishnah. Tuluya imatmeya, but not toira imatmeya. Who? Umishani. Rabbi Chista said, look, obviously, there were two approaches to Rabbi Yoshua. One is Rabbi Shimon, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua. And one is Rabbi Yossi, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua. Detanya, I'm not just making that up. I'll show you that there were two approaches to Rabbi Yoshua. Detanya. Arba asar shechal yot b'shabbat. So if Erev Pesach comes on a Shabbos, what do you do? If you're going to go and burn your truma, you burn it all together. Tameh, tahar, toloi, make one fire, burn all stuff up, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, oh no, Torah b'fnei atzma, tluya b'fnei atzma, tmeya b'fnei atzma. How can you mix any of them? If the tluya is tmeya and you put it with the tahora, then you bring matami the tahora. If the tluya is tahora and you put it with the tmeya, then you bring matami the tluya. So no matter what, you have to keep it separate. Omar Rabbi Shimon, to that, now this is, of course, consistent with Rabbi Yossi's comment to Rabbi Yoshua. Heich nisrof afilu hatluya im hatmeya. This is exactly what Rabbi Yossi said in the Braita. Says Rabbi Shimon, they agreed that you can't burn Torah with tmeya. Furthermore, they agreed ala tluya ala Torah shekein sorfim. They also agreed that you would be allowed to burn the tluya because you don't have a cheskas tuma over here. So you could go ahead and you can burn tluya on tahora. Tuma. But alman nechlaku ala tluya ala tmeya. Since we had before a cheskas tahora, over there, Rabbi Eliezer says you have to keep them separate, even though it's tluya. What if it's still tahor? Rabbi Yoshua says, since it's tluya, you can even be metame tluya. So what does that show you? That Rabbi Shimon's version of Rabbi Yoshua was that a libet of Rabbi Yoshua, tuluya im hatameya, would be okay. But Rabbi Yossi's version would be that it wasn't okay. Of course, there's a little problem over here in that the Mishnah was Rabbi Yossi's version. Because Rabbi Yossi was screaming at Rabbi Meir, I mean, if it's tuluya, okay. But I mean, who would have said you could burn tahara with the tmeya? But Rabbi Yossi held it's not okay. Now we're saying there's two Rabbi Yoshua's. One is Rabbi Yossi's, one is Rabbi Shimon's. And the one that Rabbi Yossi quotes in the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon's. Why would he do that? He asks the Gemara, but the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Mas is Rabbi Yossi. No. Rabbi Yossi is just saying to Rabbi Meir, look, Rabbi Meir, I know what you're going to do. If I'll tell you that Rabbi Yoshua never agreed that you could burn anything, you'd say, that's your opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. I'll talk about Rabbi Shimon's opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, you know what? Let's talk about Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Fine. Did Rabbi Shimon ever say that I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua, you could burn Torah and Tamei together? The most he said was you could burn Tzuluya. In the Braita, where he wanted to express his own opinion, so over there he said to Rabbi Meir, nobody in his right mind would be matir, even burning Tzuluya with the Tamei. Koshi came not Tamei together with the Torah. The Torah, I mean with the Tamei.
He doesn't know people in their right mind who would do it. He wouldn't.
According to his shita, they're obviously not in their right mind. Right, one of the slimy, I guess. So, how can come Rabbi Yosef? Look, I feel Rabbi Shimon, I leave the Rabbi Yoshua to make him. You want to go all the way as far as you can be different. Do you make a betuya of a tmeya? Somebody would say such a thing? Look. Okay, so that was our first contradiction. We now understand it only because of additional information. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina pointed out that there's a stira from the cases of Truma and the cases of Pesach. And he, too, had an answer to that contradiction. He asked like this, Mi'omar Rabbi Yeshua Shteim Kachat. You're saying in the Mishnah we can burn Teluya with the Tameya. Yeah. How about the case of Chavitcha Truma Shinolad Basafik Truma? It's a classic case, the first case. So over there, we had attempted to use this case to be the Rabbi Yeshua that Rabbi Meir was relying on to say that Midivrayim Lamad, right? So over there, when we tried to say it, well, you can't bring a raya from there because over there it's only a grama. But obviously, that creates a question against Rabbi Meir. We never answered the question. We just said, that's not a good case. Let's find a better case. But now we've got a better case. What are we going to do with that case? So over there, it says that a chavitcha of Truma that had a suffix tumor on it, Rabbi Eliezer says, you still have to take care of it because it says Mishmer Trumotai, and that includes both types of Trumot, both Tluya and Tzmeya. So, Torah. So, Im Haita Munachet B'Makom HaTurpai, Anichet B'Makom HaMutzna, Im Haita Migulai, Yechassan, you got to take good care of it. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, on the contrary, Im Haita Munachet B'Makom HaMutzna, then if you want to, you can take it outside, and even though it's more likely to get tummy there. Yanichet B'Makom HaTurpai, as long as you don't do it via dying. Im Haita Mechusa was covered, why not take off the cover? Ah, you never know what might fall in. It's not your problem, because we learn that Mishmer Trumati. That's what it writes, Trumati. So only if it was Tahar. So then, Yigalena. But that means that even Rabbi Yeshua was only going so far as to say what? Grama. A grama you can do. But Biadayim? You certainly can't go and expose it to Truma, to Meir, to anything Tamei Biadayim. So how do you explain now the contradiction between the Rabbi Yeshua that has been quoted in the Mishnah, according to which you can be Metamei Biadayim, Truma Tuluya, by burning it together with the Tameya? Umeshani in Yosef. One case is Rabbi Shimon, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua, which, according to which, in our Mishnah, which we just explained that Rabbi Yossi is quoting because he doesn't want Rabbi Meir to come back with an argument that's not what Rabbi Yeshua said, so he's willing to go and say, okay, you know what, I'm willing to agree with whatever you want to say, but Rabbi Yossi himself, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua, would indeed have said that you cannot be goring, you cannot do more than goring, you can't do anything to your dying. So it's true that these represent two different approaches to Rabbi Yoshua. Now, Rabbi Elazar, not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer the Tana, Rabbi Elazar pointed out that there's a contradiction of the Truma and Truma cases of Rabbi Yoshua's opinion. And he too answers it. Did Rabbi Yoshua say, as is Mashma in this case, that only a Grama would be Mut, but be a Daim, you would never be allowed to be Matami the Truma? Raminu, how about the other case that we had about Truma? The case where the Chavitcha Truma got a crack in it up in the Gaza El Yonah. And underneath it, and it's seeping down that pipe. And it's coming towards that chulin tameim, and we're about to have a matter antimatter. I have to get out of the way. Umoda Rebbe Eliezer, in this case, Moda Rebbe Eliezer should say, Vir Rebbe Yoshua, she'im yachol ha'atzil mimena revit b'tara yatzio, that if you can run and grab a kli that's tahar and save a revius of this truma, then even though in the interim, while you're running to get that kli, you're going to destroy the wine in the bottom of your gut because the truma is going to get mixed in it, and then you can't do anything with it, not for a kohen and not for a yisrael, because you can't burn the wine. So nonetheless, let it become tameh, because at least you could save the truma. But im lav, what about if you're not going to be able to find a kli tahar? So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, there's nothing to do. You can't go and take a tameh kli and be metami the truma be a dying, despite the fact that truma anyway, in another 10 seconds, is going to become tameh. So you think, what's the difference? The difference is, you can be passive about it, but you can't be active. Whereas in that case, Rabbi Yeshua says, you can even be metami be a dying. Why is that different? How come in the previous case you could only be goring to him, and in this case you could be actually metami be a dying? And he answered, there's a difference between that case and the other case, because you're about to lose a lot of money on the wine that's cool and that's tummy, which if the truma doesn't fall into it, is perfectly useful wine. Maskif lo Rava, and of course, same question we had earlier, Rava asked on that, matzinitanami kafsidetzim. If you're going to have to make two separate fires, one for the truma tahira and one for the truma tummy, you're going to be losing money on that extra fire. And here, Abaye answered what Eliyahu Navi told us before. You don't compare the loss of a little bit of firewood to the loss of a vat full of kosher wine. Where do we see that, in fact, that is the fundamental difference between the two cases? We see that from the very same Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in a somewhat different case. The somewhat different case being, instead of a barrel of wine on top of a wine press, in this case, we have a barrel of oil in a oil press. And you have here the... Actually, it's in a wine press. Too, but you have a chavitcha shemen truma. And over here, this shemen got a crack And now it's leaking down. And it's in the Gatel Yonah, in the holding section. Over here, Rabbi Eliezer is Boda to Rabbi Yeshua. Now, why in the world do we both agree in this case that you cannot be metame it biyad, and in the other case he said you could be metame it biyad? How do you explain this? The only nafkamina would be maishna shemen, that it's going to be roi lahadlik. The problem is, the oil, this is what you're assuming. The oil is not really a total loss. It's going to get mixed up with other oil. So you're saying, I can't even sell it to a kohen. That's not true. Sell it to a kohen and it'll use it for fuel. Yeah, but wait a minute. So is there a hefsek? Of course there's a hefsek. My previous oil I could have sold to anybody. Now I got a limited market, very limited market. I only sell it to a kohen, and only for oil, for fuel purposes. And this was A great quality cold pressed olive oil, and now we're sitting burning it in lamps. Bad news. So that's a loss, but it's not a complete loss. It's a difference between Epsom and Ruben, Epsom and Moed. But wait a second. The wine also is not going to be a complete loss, because the wine can be used as a room deodorant. So even though you take a room deodorant, you can't drink the wine, but you can spray it. That was their. That was wine. So then the Ayanami wrote, isn't the wine also still going to be suitable for a room spray? Maybe you'll tell me that Zilov is like, that's not an important usage at all. Is that so? Look, if you're going to choose your wine, choose well. You want wine to drink, pay $1 a bottle. But if you want wine for spraying, pay $2 a bottle. So obviously, Ziluf is a very useful function of wine. You want a high-quality wine for Ziluf, so it can't be just a meaningless use. So Mezalfim Belug Mishtayim. It's talking about the Chadash. The wine over here was fresh wine, doesn't have a smell yet. In order for it to have a smell, it needs some alcohol content, it needs to have that deep sherry flavor. Right, okay. What do you mean? Last I heard, new wine becomes old wine. All you got to do is wait. So how really Ashdom? How the old wine get to be old wine in the first place? So why don't you just put it into a barrel, wait until it gets its good smell in it, and then sell it as glade? No, you can't do that, because while you're waiting for it to get old, somebody may come and take a drink, and then it'll be over on drinking truma. Bad news. Ati bali deta kala. You say the same thing about the oil. Shem and Nami, Atibele de Takalasa. How can you keep the oil around to put in your lamps? What if somebody puts it on his salad and then he's going to be eating Truma Tomeya? No, that's simple. What you could do is you could take the oil and you could put it into a filthy container in which nobody would ever use it for his salad. It's clearly, you put it into your neft holder. So, he's going to use it as a fuel, for sure. So you could do the same thing. You could take your wine and you could put it into a garbage container too. Oh, come on, Mezilov Kabayle, Bikli Mos, Ramile. The whole point of it here is that you want the wine the best possible. To make it a spray, you can't put it into garbage. For fuel, you can put it into garbage. Now, the truth is that this question of Takala is a Machlokes Tanoim, as we'll see tomorrow. Let's do a brief review. You said Vahabasar Tamei Davcha, Vahabasar Tamei. I basar dit kashe b'may. Ine me dit kashe b'dam, amr et kia barav, amr meyokan minayin adam kodashim, she ain't no makshir. Shirama lo toch, leno al oret tishpachana kamayim, only dam she nishpach kamayim makshir, she nishpach kamayim ain't a makshir. Ella, you'll tell me it was this kashe b'mashki beit mit b'chaya. I thought Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina says, mashki beit mit b'chaya lo dayam, she ain't b'chen, which is the way that Rabbi Yosef and Yosef taught us, Ella, she ain't makshirin. But could be talking about a case of the next thing you said was Nimtzeit beperish hakol tamei. Why? Now how did perish with the tamei lebasar? What did I say? Sorry, Nimtzeit beperish hakol tamei. When I had a perish with tamei lebasar, Amrivara barav. It's talking about perish avah. Rav Ashi says afilu tamei perish rakam. Mishum davi mashke saruach. Tani Tanaka made the Rav Sheshi Sheretz Metame et HaMashkin, HaMashkin Metame et HaKli, UKli Metame et HaOchlin, HaOchlin Metame et HaMashkin, V'lamadu Shalosh Tomot B'Sheretz. Did you forget how to count? Hani Arba'ayin. But goes Mashkin the Reisha. Well, Abraham, but goes Mashkin the Seifa. Lo Ashkan Tana, the Amar Mashkin Metame Kli, Alu Rav Yehuda. And he himself had Charata. V'simanecha Nezaita. Tzlan Hatam Sheretz Nimtze B'Tanur, HaPach B'Tachol Shmiya. V'Pnei Sh'atanur Tchila, Omer Rav Abraham and the Rav and the Rav said, "I cannot command the Malay Tanya. Don't even have a part Rishona. Oh, Malay, no way, the Tanya. Yoch, you call a kid with Tanya in Habish of Keres. Talmud Omer, call a shebe the Chay Yid Mavis Sebekle Mikola Ochel. That teaches you that the Ochel is with Tanya in Habish of Keres. But in call a kilim with Tanya in Habish of Keres. Rav Kist was wrong in peace, ha peace from Hashem. Mi Omer Rav Yishra Shteim Gachas, even to Luyev et Tebeya. V'raminu Omer Rav Yossi Yen in Nidon Dome El Raya. Kishayidu Rabotenu Amma Yidu. Im ala basar shenitme bevlada tome shu rovino toim ha basar shenitme bahava tome zetame ve zetame. Im ala shemit shenifsal betful yom shemad likino tove ner shenitme betame meit ze pasu ve zetame. Afanu modim betshuma shenitme bevlada tome shu zofino ta ima shuma shenitme bevlada tome. Aval ech nisrof afilu tluya ima tmeya. Shemay avoy el yo betarim. Umeshani harabi shimon alibi the Rabbi Yeshua ve harabi yosi alibi the Rabbi Yeshua de tanya. Arba asa shechaliot b'shabad mevarin et hakovim lifnei ha-shabad. Visorfim trumot meot luot torot all together. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, everyone separately. Torah b'pnei atzma. Tzliyah b'pnei atzma. Tzliyah b'pnei atzma. Om Rabbi Shimon. Nah, nah, let's not go that far. Me'al netliku Rabbi Yez Rabbi Yishol ha-torah v'la t'meya. Of course, ain't sorfim together. Furthermore, lo netliku tzliyah v'la torah, that yes, you can be sorfim together. Alma netliku v'la tzliyah v'la t'meya. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shteim Gachas, which fits the case in the Mishnah that they never agreed to Tluya V'Tmeya. They never agreed to the case of Torah and Tmeya, but there is at least a sheet of Rabbi Yeshua that allows Tluya V'Tmeya. So now the problem is this is Rabbi Yossi. How come Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Meir? I feel the Rabbi Shimon Alib Rabbi Yeshua. The Mako, even he's only Mako, but Tluya B'Tmeya, certainly not in your case of Torah, but B'Tmeya lo. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Rami Truma Pischo Meshani, me, Om Rabbi Yeshua, you can burn even Shteim Gachas if it's possible. And if Tluya. And there's Tomei, Raminu Chodesh, or Truma Shinola Basavektum, Rabbi Yezer, Omer, you might have Munaka Mokam Turpa, and you can have Mokam Mutsna, you might have Mugulaya Hassan, Rabbi Shumer, right, Munaka Mokam Mutsna, and you can have Mokam Turpa, you might have Mokusa Yigalena, Mashma only a Grama, but be a dying love. Mishani, that's true, but how Rabbi Shimon Alibi Rabbi Yeshua, how Rabbi Yossi Alibi Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar Rami, Truma, Truma Mishani. Me, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Goroma in Biyadayim Lo. What about the case of Chavish or Shuvish and Ishbrava Gata Yonah? Vitakhte Achunan Tmeim. There, both the Rebbe Yezer, the Rabbi Yeshua. Shim Yocholat Simim and Rabbi Yit Pitara Yat Seal Vim Lab. Rebbe Yezer, Rabbi Yitame Vayatamena Biyadayim. Rabbi Yeshua, Mer Yatamena Biyad. Why? I thought he agrees it's only Ayyaday Goroma. Meshane, Shane at Bika Epsit Kulin. Matkilar of Papa, so in our Mishnah Matintanami, he gaps it eights to make two separate fires. Omale Abaya left in Maruba Khashu, left it Muat Lo Khashu. We know Tamil left it Maruba Khashu, left it Muat Lo Khashu. From the same case where was Shemin. Tatania Khavicha Shemin Shuvash Nishwa Bagata Yona, who would talk to Nafu and to me. Mode of Yez Rabbi Yeshua, in Yahola, Tsunimana Rabbias, Betara Yatsil, Vimlaf, Terate with the Tamei, Vayatamana Biyat. Maishna Shemin, the Roy Ladli, Yainami Roy Lizilov. V'chitem ezil of lav milta yi v'yomer shmul mishum rebichia shotin milug besela u'mezalfim belug b'shtei sela. It's talking about lazy wine. Say, but roi lo yoshno. Eat v'le de takala. The shemen nami at v'le de takala. The romi le de klimoz. So then put the yayin be klimoz. No, what do you mean? Lezil of kavoy le de klimoz, romi le? The takala atzma tanoi.